Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin daf Mem Tes. We left off Mem Ches Amud Beis, more than three quarters of the way down the Amud, probably about 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. Today we are going to complete the discussion of trephas of the lungs. We're going to talk a lot about a needle that's found in either one of the bronchial tubes or if it's found somewhere in the vascular system. And ultimately, in the inside of the animal, we'll see how the needle got there, whether it makes a difference how the needle got there, which direction the needle is facing, and all in the aim of trying to figure out whether that needle may have punctured one of the critical internal organs that, if they are punctured, would render the animal a trepha. Then, on the bottom of Mentes Amid Aleph, we're going to get a very brief but very welcome break, a little bit of Agadata. We're going to talk about Berchas Kohanim and how the Kohanim are blessed, if in fact the Kohanim are always benching Klal Yisrael, who blesses the Kohanim. And we're going to tie that ultimately to a statement of Rabbi Yishmael regarding whether the fat that's on the part of the animal called the abomasum is permitted to eat or whether it's usher to eat. We know that the keva is one of the parts of the animal that is given to the Kohanim as the matnos kahuna, and therefore whether the chelev of the keva is permitted might be of great benefit to the Kohanim, because the Kohanim get the keva. If the chelev of the keva is permitted, then that would be a good thing. And we're going to talk a lot about the chelev of the keva. We're going to talk about the concept of Torah Chas Amamona She Yisrael. We're going to talk a little bit about if we have a suffik daraisa lechumra, and then we're going to end the Hamad with a discussion of the concept of gilui, of the concept of letting, which doesn't really apply nowadays, but the concept of leaving certain beverages uncovered overnight, whether we need to be concerned that a nachash or that some sort of poisonous snake might have injected venom into that which you leave uncovered overnight. So we'll see all of that. So it's a little bit more varied in terms of content today than it had been over the past few days. So let's jump in. So we are 2, 4, 6, 8 lines up from the bottom of the Amud on Mem Ches Amud Beis. The first word on the line is Chotcha. We'll pick up from the fifth word on the line, which is the fourth word on the line, rather, which is Ahi. So Ahi Machta Deishtakech B'Simpona Rabba. There was a mechet. There was a needle that was found in the primary bronchial tube of an animal. So Dereya, that the primary bronchial tube that leads into the lung. So Asyu L'Kaimei D'Rabbanan Trofai. So they brought this lung to the rabbis who were Trofai. What does that mean? So Rashi says it means to the rabbis who declared earlier that if a needle is found in the lung, then it renders the animal a trepha. They brought this lung to those rabbis. That list of rabbis included Reish Lakish, as we saw yesterday. So they brought this lung, which had a needle in the primary bronchial tube leading into the lung, to those rabbis. Lo amruba, lo leisser, velo leheter. And they didn't render a psak. They didn't say it was usser. They didn't say it was mutter. Heter lo amri be kishmatayu. They couldn't say that it was mutter because those rabbis were recorded earlier on Mem Ches Amud Beis as saying that if there's a needle found in a lung, then that necessarily renders the animal a trepha. So now that this needle was found in the primary bronchial tube leading into the lung, they couldn't say that it was mutter. But iser nami lo amri ba kivan de pisipona rabba ishtakach ima simpona nakat vasoi. But they also couldn't definitively say that it was usser, because earlier in yesterday's daf, when they said that it was a trepha, they were referring to a situation where the needle was located in the lung itself. Over here, the needle wasn't located in the lung itself, it was located in the primary bronchial tube. You'll recall that what we saw yesterday was when there's a needle that's located in the lung, there's always a suffix. Did the needle puncture the wall of the lung and therefore get into the lung, and now there's a punctured lung which renders the animal a trepha? Or did the needle get it into the lung by being ingested somehow and going down the bronchial tubes and then winding up through some vascular route inside the animal, winding up in the lung without actually puncturing anything. So they couldn't say that this animal was mutter because they hold that if there's a needle in the lung area, it's a trefa. But they couldn't say definitively that it's usur because over here, the fact that the needle was in the primary bronchial tube indicates that the needle was traveling through those bronchial tubes and did not actually puncture the lung. Okay, so says the Gemara. So says the Gemara Viter now. So ahi machta. So there was another episode of a machat of a needle. The shtakach b'chaticha de kavda, which was found in a cut in the liver. So savra marbered Rav Yosef lemitrofe, and marbered Rav Yosef thought to render the animal a trefa. So emerle Ravashi. So said Ravashi ilu shtakach b'bisra ki agavna avi tarif mar that if you found something like this in the meat of the animal, would you say that the animal is a trefa? Ella amar Ravashi, but says Ravashi, no, you can't reflexively say that the animal's a trefa because we found the needle in a cut in the liver. You can't say no matter what it's a trefa. Ella amar Ravashi, chazino, we have to do a more critical analysis. Ikufalavar, if the blunt head of the needle, so the needle has two sides, right? So one end is the pointy end, and the other end is the blunt end with the eye where you put the string through. So you have to look to see where the blunt end of the needle is. If the blunt end of the needle is outside the liver, then nikuve nakav vaasai. Well, then you know that where's the sharp end? The sharp end is then inside the liver, meaning that the needle punctured the liver, and therefore it renders the animal a trefa. But ikufa lagav, however, if the sharp end of the needle is sticking out, meaning the blunt end of the needle is inside the liver, then that indicates simpona nakat vasai. Then that indicates that the needle got to the liver through a vascular route, and therefore the animal is not going to be, a trefa. So says the Gemara, Bafahani Mili Baalimte. That's only by a large needle where one end is sharp and the other end is very blunt. So if you have the end that's very blunt, that's inside the liver, that means there's no way that end punctured the liver from the outside. It obviously came derech sepona, it obviously came through a vascular route inside the animal, and therefore it's going to be fine. Aval katinta loshna kupala gav, loshna kupala var, nekuve naka vasoi. But if you have a small needle, doesn't make a difference whether the blunt edge is on the outside or whether the blunt edge is on the inside. We always assume that the needle, the small needle, is sharp enough to puncture the liver, no matter which end of the needle is sticking out. We assume that the liver was punctured. So the way I said it is the way Rashi explains it. But the Rashba says the opposite, actually, that by a small needle, it doesn't matter which end of the needle is sticking out. We always assume that the small needle came to the liver through the vascular route because it's so small. Not like Rashi says, we assume that either side of the needle was able to puncture the liver, but because it's so small, the likelihood is increased that the needle somehow traveled through a vascular route inside the animal and therefore wound up in the liver. So says the Gemara, but umayshna mimecha chenimtseis beove besakosos. Why is this any different than a mechet, than a needle that's found in the ove beis hakosos, in the reticulum? And the reticulum is part of the digestive tract of the animal. There are two walls connected each other with a layer of fat. The layer of fat connects these two walls. So that becomes important that there are two walls. So the mechet that's found in the ove beis hakosos mitzad echad ksheira, if it's puncturing one of the ove beis hakosos, then it's going to be kosher because it's not a puncture all the way through. Mishneit stadim trefa. If, however, it's punctured on both sides of the ove beis hakosos, then it's going to be a trefa because it obviously is punctured through and through. V'lo amrina, now we don't say lech say ukufalavar okufalavar okufalagav, and we don't say, oh well, even if it only punctures one of the ove beis hakosos, We don't say, well, let's scrutinize and see which end of the needle is sticking out, because maybe if the blunt edge is sticking out, then we know it definitely punctured the Ove Beis HaKosos, and we should say that the animal's a trefa, even if only one of the walls is punctured. So how come by the liver, you're telling me it depends which way the needle is pointing, but by the Ove Beis HaKosos, it seems automatic. If only one of the walls is punctured, then it's going to be kosher. If both of the walls are punctured, it's going to be a trefa. We don't care which direction the needle is pointing in. Says the Gemara, Samri Yalsam Kivandika Ochlin Amashkin, Ema Ochlin Amashkin Dachua. Nah, because over there, by the Ove Beis HaKosos, because it's part of the digestive tract of the animal, we assume that the needle just made its way into the Ove Beis HaKosos because it was ingested by the animal along with food. As Rashi explains, Mitochatchak Nichnisa Kupa Shela Bibasar Hilkach Afagav de Kupa Labar. And therefore, says Rashi, no matter which way the edge of the needle is pointing, which way the needle is pointing is useful as an empirical tool to try to figure out, if we reconstruct how the needle got there, we could try to figure out, it's helpful in trying to figure out how the needle got there. But where it's so obvious, or it's so light, not obvious, but where it's so likely that the needle got there because it was ingested into the animal and made it there from the inside, as opposed to getting punctured from the outside, then we don't worry about which way the needle is facing, we just assume that the needle got there through an internal route. Says the Gemara Vayter, Ahi Machta, 5 lines down, Mem Tesamed Aleph, Ahi Machta de Ishtakach Besimpona Rabba de Kavda, there was a needle that was found in the great blood vessel of the liver. So Hunamar Bered Rav Idi Tarif. So Hunamar Bered Rav Idi said the animal's a trefa. Rav Ada Rav Yumi Machshir. And Rav Ada Rav Yumi said it's kosher. Also Shalui El Ravina. They asked Ravina what to do with his animal. Amar Lu Shkila Gluma De Trafai. You have to take the coat of the one who said that it is a trefa. What does it mean that you have to take the coat? So Rashi explains, the rabbi who paskin the animal is a trefa owes the owner of the animal money. Because he said the animal's a trefa, he got the psak wrong. This animal is not a trefa, and therefore he gave a wrong psak. He has to reimburse the owner of the animal. And why does he have to reimburse the owner of the animal? Because obviously if you have an animal that's kosher, you could sell the animal for its meat and make a lot of money. If you have an animal that's a trefa, then the animal is asur liachila, it's mutar ba'na, so the only thing you can do with the animal is sell it for dog food, which obviously costs a lot less than people food, and therefore the rabbi who said that it's a trefa has to reimburse the owner. Hayi kashyasa, there was a date pit, de ishtakach b'mara, that was found in a gallbladder of an animal. So I'm Rav Ashi, ki avina be Rav Kahana, so said Rav Ashi, when I was asking Rav Kahana, Amra hai vadai simpona nakat vasai, that this definitely took a vascular route to the animal, and therefore it didn't puncture the gallbladder. Afagav delo kanafik mirbo. Afagav delo kanafka, and even though the date pit is something that, how could you say it could take a vascular route? Taking a vascular route means that somehow it was ingested by the animal and then it made its way inside. So let's say the date pit is so large that it doesn't really fit through any of the tubes that run inside the animal. So how do we assume the date pit got there because it was ingested and then made its way down to the gallbladder? If the date pit is so large that it doesn't really fit in any of the tubes, so even though it doesn't really fit, Mirbalu derabile. So we assume that it was shaken down, meaning that the more the animal walks, the vibrations when the animal walks ultimately cause the date pit to become dislodged and cause it to fall all the way down the tube. So that's like anything else, where you have something that fits in very tightly, it seems very secure, but then when you shake it enough, ultimately it has a little bit of give, and therefore we assume the date pit took an internal route to the gallbladder. So said the Gemara that Vahani Mili Didikla, that's only by a date pit, Aval Dezesa, but by an olive pit, Mizbe Baza, then we assume that it pierced the gallbladder, and that the animal is actually going to be a trefa. So says the and Rashi points out that a date pit is small enough and sharp enough that it would have the same halacha as a needle. that if we assume that the needle was going to puncture the gallbladder, we would also assume the date pit is going to puncture the gallbladder. So Amar Rav Yochanan, Lamanikra Shma Reya, why is the lung called a Reya? Why is it called Reya? Says the Gemara, Shem Iris Einayim, because it's very beneficial for eyesight, for vision. So Iboilu, so they ask a question, La Achila O Al Yedei Simonim. Does it mean that it's very beneficial to stam eat a lung of an animal and that alone is good for the eyesight? Or does it mean that that when you mix the lung, when you prepare the lung with some sort of spices, with some other sort of ingredients, then it's very beneficial to the eyesight? So says the Gemara, Tashma, Diyom Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Avza Bezuza, that a goose costs one zuz to buy, Vereya Didei Ba'arba, and the lung of the goose is so beneficial that you buy it for four zuzim. And if you want to say that the lung is beneficial for eyesight as long as you eat it plain, so you could outsmart the system. You don't have to buy the lung of a goose for four zuz. You could buy the entire goose for a zuz and then just eat the lung, and then you get the benefit of having the food that's good, that's beneficial for eyesight. Ella alidei samanim. So obviously, it's only if it's prepared with certain spices, and therefore, when they say that the goose is bought for a zuz, but the lung is bought for four zuz, it doesn't mean the lung itself. It means the lung so prepared with all of these spices that make it beneficial to one's eyesight. So in kavreya, so hecha dimimashmishsa, so let's say you have a lung that is punctured where the butcher's hands poke when the butcher is checking for a trefa. So what would happen is the butcher would check the animal, then the butcher opens up the animal, that butcher then has to check the animal's lungs. So when you're checking the animal's lungs, you're checking for all of these surface, for all of these wounds on the lungs, and you're scraping them off and trying to see if they're really scabs or if they're not. You're trying to figure out what exactly the situation is over here. And the butcher, therefore, is manipulating, he's handling the lungs. So if you find a hole in the lung where the butcher's hands would have gone, do we assume that the butcher made the hole, or do we assume that the hole was there previously? So talinan or lo talinan, do we assume the butcher made the hole or not? So Rav Adar Bar Nosan Amar talinan. Rav Adar Bar Nosan says, yes, we are tola it on the butcher. We assume that it's a butcher that made the hole, but the animal's not a trefa. Marzuch Rabbi Dramari Amar lo talinan. Marzuch Rabbi Dramari says, no, we don't assume that the butcher made the hole. We assume the hole was there previously and it's a trefa. Vilchasa talinan. And the halacha is that we assume that the butcher made the hole when he was doing the inspection. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bered Rabbi Avo, Abba Meresha Kali Darah from Hava. So Rav Shmuel, the son of Rav Avo, said that my father was from the head of the Kala of Raphram. The Kala was the big shear that they used to say. And Meresha Kala de Raphram means that he was one of the people who would transmit the shear that Raphram was giving to the assembled crowd. They used to speak through a spokesman, and Rav Avo was the spokesman in Raphram shear. V'yamar talinan. And he said, likewise, talinan, that if there's a hole in the lung near the place where the butcher's hands touch it, then we assume that the butcher made the hole, but it's not a trefa, because the hole was made after the shechita. So Amruah kamei lahadamar zutra breidra mari v'lo kibla. He didn't accept it. So Amruah mesharshek avosei d'abua d'abba mistabra. The talinan bezev, it appears that he's right when he says talinan, that we assume that the butcher made it, because we have the case earlier in the Masech where we assumed that the fox made the hole. So what was the case earlier in the Masechta? The case was that you had an animal that was shechted, and then a fox came, and the fox came and took the animal and grabbed the liver of the grabbed the lung of the animal rather. And the intestines of the animal, and then later returned the intestines of the animal. And lo and behold, when the intestines came back, we saw that they had holes in it. So the question is, why they have holes in it? So there were two possibilities. Either the intestines had a hole before the animal was shechted, in which case the animal's a trefa. Or you could say, no, what happened was, you know, when the wolves came to eat, to take the animal away, the wolves made the puncture holes when they bit the intestines. And we said that talina, and we said that we actually are tola the holes that the wolf made them. And we don't assume that there were holes there previously. So to over here, we assume if there are holes exactly where the butcher is touching the lungs, we assume that the butcher made the holes and that they were not there previously. So Murna, if you have parasitic worms, that's the translation of Murna. And Rashi says, Tola sayotza min areya v'nakva. It's a parasitic worm that emerges from the lung and causes a hole in the lung. So Rav Yosef Bar Dusai, V'rabbanan Chanamar Kodem Shechita Parish, one says that we have to be afraid that it left the lung before Shechita, therefore making a hole in the lung, therefore making the animal a treifa. V'chanamar Le'acha Shechita Parish. And the other said, no, we assume that the murna, that the parasitic worm, left the lung after Shechita. And at the time of Shechita, there was no hole in the lung. V'ilchasa Le'acha Shechita Parish. The halacha is that the parasitic worm left the lung, or is thought to leave the lung after Shechita, and therefore the animal is not a treifa, because at the time of the Shechita there was no hole. How do we know that the parasitic worm left the lung after Shechita? The Meiri explains, because a lung of a live animal is the best residence, if you will, for this type of parasitic worm. And therefore, there is no reason for the worm to have left the lung while the animal is still alive, and therefore we can assume that the worm didn't leave until after the animal was shechted. Okay, weiter, on the two dots, less skinny line. So, Amar Rabba Bar Tachlifa, Amar Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba, Ad Shetinokev L'Simpon Gadol. That this shita held that the lung is not a trefa unless the lung is punctured all the way down by the primary bronchi. So Yosef Ravi Acha Bar Abba Kamed Ravun of Yosef Akamar Amar Rabbi Loch Amar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. So says Rav Meloch in the name of Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, Alachak Rav Shimon, Alachak is like Rav Shimon, that if there's a puncture in the lung, it's not a puncture that renders the animal a treif until it's all the way down in the area of the lung by the primary bronchi. So Amar Le Meloch Arvok, Amrit, so are you talking about Meloch from Arabia? But he said, Ein Alachak Rav Shimon Kamar. But he said, not that the Alacha is like Rav Shimon, he said the Alacha is not like Rav Shimon. Kisolik Rav Zera, Ashkechei L'Rav Bibi, the Yosef Ekomer, Amar Rav Meloch, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Halacha K'Rav Shimon. Then again, we have another Mesorah that Rav Meloch is saying that the Alacha is like Rav Shimon in our Mishnah. Amar Lei, Chayi Damar, Danov, Rav Chia Bar Abav, Rav Asi, Aklin and La'asri, the Rav Meloch. Well, you're reporting it incorrectly, because I swear, we went, all these rabbis went to the place of Rav Meloch, Varmrilei, Iyamar Mar Alachak Rav Shimon, do you hold like the Alachas like Rav Shimon? They asked Rav Meloch, Viyamar Lo, Ein Alachak Rav Shimon. And he said, no, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon. So Amri va'at ma biyatcha, why do you go around saying that Rav Meloch said the halacha is like Rav Shimon? So Amar Lei, Achi Amar Rav Yitzchak, Bar Ami, Amar Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, halacha Rav Shimon, that because we have all these rabbis saying the halacha is like Rav Shimon, however, the Gemara Paskins, the ain halacha Rav Shimon, the halacha is not like Rav Shimon, and Rashi points out over here, Gemara kapasuk lei, the Gemara is paskening that the halacha is not like Rav Shimon in the Mishnah, uvi yeshiva achrona nifsiku halachos halalu apsuko stam begemara. And Rashi just gives a history lesson, so we know that the Gemara was formulated over a period of generations, the generations of the Amoraim, and it was in the last yeshiva of the Gemara, it was in the last of the generations of the Amoraim, that those who were being masadra the Gemara just went ahead and left these anonymous halachos paskin in the Gemara, but if here we have such a conclusive psak in the Gemara, the halacha is not like Reb Shimon. Okay, next on the list in the Mishnah of Treifas is Nikva Kava. The Abomasim had a hole in it. So Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Oshia, Chelev Shal Gabe Keva. If you have the Chelev, which is on the Keva, the fat, which is on the Keva, and just to refresh, the fat of a behema, chelev of a behema, is usur to eat. Chelev of a chayah is mutter. We generally don't eat chayahs nowadays, or it's not typical to eat chayahs, but chelev of a behema is usur to eat. It has to be burned on the mizbeach. Now, let's say you have the keva, is one of the parts of the behema that were given to the kohen as matnas kahuna. So you have the chelev shal gabe keva, kohanim nagubba heter k'rabi Yishmael. The kohanim were noeg heter with the fat that's on the keva, like Rabbi Yishmael, shomer mishum avosav, who gave halacha in the name of his father, v'simanech Yishmael kahana messiah kahani. And the simon that it was Rabbi Yishmael who said that the chelev shal gabe akeva is mutter, is that Rabbi Yishmael, who's a kohen, is hooking up, is helping out his brothers who are kohanim. And Rashi explains that, tamidu ozron umekelem lokamim mefarish hecha. That Rashi explains, if you always have Rabbi Yishmael helping out the kohanim, he himself was a kohen, we're going to see right away where else Rabbi Yishmael helped out the kohanim. So says the Gemara, Mahi, So says the Gemara, what is the other situation? What's the other scenario where Rabbi Shmuel helped out the Kohanim? Titania, Kosovarko is Mnei Yisrael. It says by Birchas Kohanim that the Kohanim have to bless, have to bench Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel, Omer Lamanu Brachali Yisrael, Mipi Kohanim. We see that the Kohanim have to bench the Yisraelim, have to bench Klal Yisrael. The Kohanim Atzman Lo Lamadnu. We never see the Kohanim themselves getting a bracha. They're only giving a bracha. But Keshu Omer Vani Avarachem, when it says in the Pasuk of Birchas Kohanim, when it says in the Parsha of Birchas Kohanim, rather, Vani Avarachem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bless the Kohanim, Havi Omer Kohanim Avarachem Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avarach LeKohanim. The Vani Avarachem, according to Rabbi Shmuel, goes on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bench the Kohanim, and the Kohanim are going to bench Klal Yisrael. So Rabbi Kiva, Omer Rabbi Kiva says, no, not like that. Lamanu bracha liYisrael mipi Kohanim. We learn in the Parsha Berachas Kohanim that Klal Yisrael gets a bracha from the Kohanim. Mipi Gvura lalamanu. We don't ever see that the Bnei Yisrael are getting a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kesho Omer Vani Avarachem, when it says Vani Avarachem, Havi Omer Kohanim Avarachem liYisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Maskim al Yadam. That Rabbi Akiva interprets Vani Avarachem to mean not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blessing the Kohanim, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blessing Klal Yisrael and being maskim to the bracha that the Kohanim are giving Klal Yisrael. Ella, Rabbi Akiva bracha l'Kohanim inale. Okay, so according to Rabbi Akiva, you have the Kohanim blessing Klal Yisrael, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu being maskim to the bracha of the Kohanim and blessing Klal Yisrael, but we never see the Kohanim getting benched at all. So the poor Kohanim, they're blessing everybody else, nobody's blessing them, says the Gemara. Amrav Nachum Rav Yitzchok, me va'avaracha mevarachecha. No, they learn that the Kohanim get a bracha from all the way where it says back in Sefer Bereishis, that it says, anybody who you bless, I'll bless. So if it turns out, if the Kohanim are benching Klal Yisrael, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made avtacha, he's going to bench the Kohanim. Umay Messiah Kahani. So basically, says the Gemara, in either case, both according to Rabbi Shmuel and according to Rabbi Akiva, you have the Kohanim benching Klal Yisrael, and ultimately the Kohanim are getting a bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whether you learn it out like Rabbi Shmuel or whether you learn it out like Rabbi Akiva. So why do we say that Rabbi Shmuel is helping the Kohanim? The answer is, because Rabbi Shmuel said that the Va'ani Avarachem in the Parsha Berchas Kohanim is the makor for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is benching the Kohanim. And it's always better to have a bracha in the place, in the place where we're describing the bracha that the Kohanim give, rather than have to rely on a back door to say, oh, really, all this parsha is talking about Klal Yisrael getting a bracha. The Kohanim, I'm going to backdoor in because of some random reference to Me'va'avaracham avarachecha and Sefer Bereishis. Better like Rabbi Shmuel has it for the Kohanim, that the bracha for the Kohanim is also found in the parsha of Birchas Kohanim. It says the Gemara now two lines up. Rabbi Shmuel Shomer Mishum Avosav Ma'yi. What's the statement of Rabbi Shmuel Shomer Mishum Avosav? We said that the Kohanim were noeg the chalev on the kevas mutter like Rabbi Shmuel who said in the name of his forefather. So Ma'yi Detanya is kol chalev asher al akerev. All of the chalev which is on the innards. And lahavi chelev shal gabei adakin. So turning over to Mem Tesem Abeis, this comes to include the chelev which is on the intestines. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel, that chelev is permitted. Rabbi Kiva omer lahavi chelev shal gabei akeva. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, it comes to include the chelev which is on the abomasim, which is on the keva. V'rimini b'frek the Gemara es achelev asher ala kerev. It says, es achelev asher ala kerev. That the chelev which is on the kerev, Rav Shimon Omer, Rav Shimon says, on the side it changes it to Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, ma chelev amachases a kerev, just like chelev which covers the kerev, which covers the innards, karum v'niklaf, it's encased in a membrane that can be peeled away, af kol karum v'niklaf. Also, any chelev which is encased in a membrane and can be peeled away is usur. Now, what do we know about the chelev shal gabei akeva? The chelev on the abomasim is chelev which is in a membrane that can be peeled away. So now we have a braisa saying that Rabbi Yishmael says that any chelev which is in a membrane and can be peeled away is usur, and that includes the chelev which is on the keva. And now we have Rabbi Kiva Amar. Rabbi Kiva says, Ma chelav amachasas akerev. No, there's another requirement in order for chelav to become usur. Ma chelav amachasas akerev totav karum v'niklav. It's draped and it's encased in a membrane and it can be peeled away. Af kol tosav karum v'niklav. So too, that the only chelav which is usur is chelav which is draped and is encased in a membrane and can be peeled away. Now the chelav on the keva is not draped. It's not draped over. Rather, there's just one membrane. There's a thin membrane of fat. So it turns out that according to Rabbi Yishmael, the chelav which is on the keva has all of the attributes of chelav which is usur. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the chelav which is on the keva does not have the attributes of chelav that's usur. So you told me on Amud Aleph that Rabbi Yishmael hooked up the Kohanim because the Kohanim are noeg heter by chelav on the keva because of what Rabbi Yishmael said, Mishama Vosav. But over here we have Rabbi Yishmael is the one who's saying that the chelav which is on the keva is usur, and it's Rabbi Kiva who's saying that it's mutter. So says the Gemara, Shalach Ravim Mishmed Rav Yochanan, Kachia Eitza Shal Mishnah, Vipuch Kamaisa. So you're right. So also, by the way, over here, we have a stira because the first price that told me that Rabbi Shmuel said that chelav is mutter, Rabbi Kiva said it's usur. Now we have a price that's telling me that Rabbi Shmuel says it's usur, Rabbi Kiva says it's mutter. So one of them is going to be inaccurate. So they said we have to flip the first brisa, and therefore the real shitas are Rabbi Shmuel says usur, Rabbi Akiva says mutter. So says the Gemara, my chazis tafchas kamaisa epech bas raisa. Why are you flipping the first brisa? Maybe flip the second brisa. Maybe make Rabbi Shmuel the one who says it is mutter. Says the Gemara, shani yacha kibin dektani ma dafka. No, because over here we had one brisa that told me, that Rabbi Shmuel said that the chelav which is on the keva is mutter, and Rabbi Akiva said that the chelav which is on the keva is usur. And then we had a second brisa where they were darshaning a pasuk. So it's more mistaber if they're actually darshaning the pasuk, if they took the pains to darshan the pasuk and formulate their shitas based on what the pasuk says, they were being more specific in that brisa than they were in the prior brisa. But says the Gemara, back to the reason that we cited this whole thing, so Iachi Rabbi Yishmael, so if so, you want to tell me that the Kohanim who are Noeg Heter on the Chelev Shal Gabi Akeva are Noeg Rabbi Yishmael, they're not Noeg Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael is the one who says that it's Usur. Rabbi Akiva, they're Noeg like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who says it's Mutter. So I'm Rav Nachum, Rabbi Yitzchak, Shamra Mishema Vosa Valelo Svirale. Ah, remember the Gemara, they asked, what does it mean that it says Rabbi Shmuel Mishama Vosav, that those Kohanim who are Noeg Heter on the Chelev Shal Gabi Akeva, they're Noeg like Rabbi Shmuel Mishama Vosav? The reason that we say Mishama Vosav is because Rabbi Shmuel himself, Taka, holds that the Chelev which is on the Keva is Usur. His forefathers held that it was mutter. Rabbi Shmuel didn't hold like his forefathers, but the Kohanim who are Noeg Heter held like the forefathers of Rabbi Shmuel. So says the Gemara Viter. So Amar Rav, Chelev Tar, so same. Chelev, which is tar, which is able to be eaten, so same, is effective in sealing a puncture. Tameh ain't so same. Chelev Tameh, however, Chelev, which is not able to be eaten, is not effective at sealing a puncture. For Rav Sheshes Amar, Rav Sheshes says, Echadzeh, Echadzeh, so same, no. Either type of Chelev is effective at sealing a puncture wound. So boy, Reb Zera says, Frekt Reb Zera, Chelev Chaya, Mai. So, what about the chelav of a chaya? So the chelav chaya, what do we know about the chelav of a chaya? The chelav of a chaya is mutar la'achila. So dafka amar chelav tar is so same vay nami tarhu. When we said chelav tar is so same, do we mean that any chelav which is mutar to eat is effective at sealing a puncture wound? Or do we mean that the chelav of a behema, which is tar, in other words, that part of the chelav of the behema that's tar is good in sealing a puncture, but not the chelav chaya. Maybe we're not talking about a chelav chaya at all. So dafkamer chelav tar so same vaynami taru. Do we say that any chelav tar is so same a puncture wound, and this is also chelav tar because it's chelav of a chaya? Odilma mishem de mahadak vaylo mahadak. Or maybe it's because we see empirically that chelav tar of a behema is actually is an adhesive. It causes something else to adhere to it. However, but the chelav chaya is not really valuable as an adhesive. So Amar Abaya, mighty boyle. What's the question? Okay, granted, it's royal achila. Granted, it's kosher achila. But we see the facts on the ground are that the chelav of a chaya is not an adhesive. So does it make sense to say that it's effective in sealing a wound simply because it's mutar l'achila? Of course not. We have to look at the facts on the ground in the real world. Is it adhesive or not? The chelav of a behema that happens to be mutar to eat, that part of a chelav is adhesive, therefore it's effective in sealing a puncture wound. Chelav of a chaya, which is not adhesive, not going to be effective in sealing a puncture wound. Ho nekev de satma chelav tameh. So there was a nekev, there was a puncture wound, where chelav tamei, which ordinarily isn't supposed to be an adhesive, was sealing the wound. Yasa l'kamei to Rava, he came before Rava, Amar Rava, l'may nechashla. What should we be afraid of? Chada d'amar Rav Sheshes, chelav tamei nami sosim. First of all, there's a sheet of Rav Sheshes who says, the chelav tamei also was effective in sealing a puncture. The Oda Torah chasam amonim shei Yisrael. And also, the Torah was always very considerate about the mammon of the Jewish people. Where do we see that the Torah is considerate about the mammon of the Jewish people? So Rashi points out, famous Rashi, that when there was a nega and a bias, at Saras and Abayas, and the coin would come to be Matamid Abayas, the coin would first have them clear all the Kalim out of the house before he declared the house Tamei, so as to avoid the Kalim becoming Tamei. And Rashi points out, what difference does it make if there are any types of metal Kalim or wood? You could always tovel them, you could always do something to be Matar them. So Rashi says, Elamai, what can't you be Matar in a mikvah? You can't be Matar Klei Cheres, earthenware vessels. So it turns out that the Torah is telling us to clear the entire house from Kalim before the coin comes to be Matame the house, lest there be an earthenware vessel in the house that will become Tameh, that you'll never be able to be Matar through Tefillah and a Mikvah. Earthenware vessels are very cheap, they're very inexpensive, yet we see the Torah is concerned with the Mamon Shel Yisrael. So that was the Shita of Rav over here. We, even though generally we have a klal that only chelav tameh, only chelav tar is a good seal, not chelav tameh, over here, Rava said, what do we have to be afraid of? We see it's a good seal, and also the Torah is always nervous about the money of the Jewish people. So Amar Le Rapapa La Rava, Amar Le Rapapa La Rava, Ravi Surah Daraisa, Viat Amrit Torah Chasam Amonim Shal Yisrael. What are you talking about over here? There's Rav, first of all, Rav, you're quoting me, Rav Sheshes. Rav said that Chelav Tamei can't seal a puncture. And over here, it's an Isser Daraisa. It's an Isser Daraisa because Trefa, if the puncture is not sealed effectively, the animal is going to be a Trefa. It's also Minas Torah to eat a Trefa. So this is a Suffolk Daraisa. So ordinarily, what do we say in this case of Suffolk Daraisa? We say Suffolk Daraisa Lechumra. But you're going to tell me a Torah's Chasam Amonah Shei Yisrael, it's a nice warm and fuzzy type of Limud, but it's not like the Klalei Apsak. It's not in accordance with the Klalei Apsak. So Vatamar the Torah Chasam Amonah Shei Yisrael. So Menyumin Kanduka, we have another mice. Menyumin Kanduka, Menyumin a pottery dealer, Igole Bastika de Dufsha. He left a honey pot uncovered, filled with honey. So also Lakame de Rava, he came before Rava, so I'm a Rava Lamai Nechashla. What are we afraid of? Chada de Tnan Shlosha Mashkin Asur Mishum Gilui. First of all, there's a brisa that says that only three Mashkin are Usur if they were left overnight. We'd be afraid that maybe a snake injected poisonous venom into the liquid. But there are only three mashkin, ayayin, v'amayim, v'achalav, v'shar kol mashkin mutarim. And what was left uncovered here? Honey, so we don't have to be afraid. V'yoda, Torah chasam amonah shei Yisrael. And also the Torah is generally nervous, very considerate about the money of Bnei Yisrael. So we don't want to force you to have to throw out your whole honey pot. So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak l'Rava, so similar conversation. Rav Shimon, we have Reb Shimon, who holds that honey is one of the liquids that are usur mishum giloy. This is a kanas nefashos. And also, what's the whole reason that giloy is usur? It's usur because we're afraid that maybe a snake injected the venom, which is a kanas nefashos. V'yat amr tatorah chasam amonam shay Yisrael. Then you're going to say, oh no, it's mutter because the Torah is all of a sudden considerate about the money of the Bnei Yisrael. It's Reb Shimon Mayi. What's the shita Reb Shimon? Tetanya chamisha ein ba'mishum giloy. There are five beverages that that aren't asr mishum gilui, tzir v'chometz, it's like very astringent beverages, like fish brine and vinegar, shemen v'dvash umuryas. Rav Shimon omer, af hein yesh ba mishum gilui. Rav Shimon says, no, even by these beverages, we do have to be afraid of gilui. V'amar Rav Shimon, ani risi nacha sheshashat tzir b'tzidon. And then Rav Shimon brings an anecdote that I saw a snake eating fish brine at tzidon, so we see that we do have to be afraid for gilui, even by fish brine. So amar lo, shatya havi, v'mevi'in rayim, and ashot him. No, that snake was deranged. We can't bring a raya from deranged snakes. So amar le, so they said, odili mias pitsir, da rapapa vravuna braid ravishua vrabana kiave la gilui shadulo pitsir. When they would have mayim magulin or yayim magulim, they would put the wine in brine, because it's obvious that they held that brine doesn't have an issue because of gilui. And amar le, so then Rav Shimon said, odili mia bitvash, but you have to admit to me by dvash, the Rav Shimon ben Elazar koi kavosi. That because Rav Shimon Elazar paskas like me that dvash is usher, the Tanya v'cheino Rav Shimon Elazar osur b'dvash, that that also Rav Shimon Elazar says that dvash is usher mishum gilui. And just to finish up, the Shulchan Aruch over here paskins that nowadays we are not afraid of any of this. So no matter what beverage is left uncovered, you don't have to be afraid of gilui. This was only in the times of the Gemara when they had these poisonous snakes that we were afraid might get into this. Okay, so let's leave off here. We'll pick up talking about different types of fat of the animal tomorrow, God willing. Let's go.